Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, welcome back, everyone. The international break is over. We hope you are doing well. Before getting into everything, a thank you to all of our patrons over at Patreon, patreon.com/RomaPress. If you would like to get access, early access to the episodes, other things as well. I did an episode, a brief patron update episode on some things leaking out from the camp of Lina Suluku following her departure last month from Roma. Or was it this month? Time is seamed together last month. And a few other things on there as well that you can find. Patreon.com/RomaPress. And then obviously at IS Roma Press for the video version, social media. Like, subscribe, you know the drill by now. I hate having to regurgitate that each time, but we skipped a day, we skipped an episode, so reminding you in this instance, before your weekend likely gets ruined, Andy, because it's Roma Inter, no better way, after having been free of stress, at least temporarily, last weekend, we begin in the most stressful manner possible, Roma Inter. Before getting into that, there were some minor things that came out during the international break. Although, when compared as far as the usual, Andy, this was a welcome change.
Yeah,
no significant injuries.
Nothing.
Bombastic interviews.
Let's keep our fingers crossed for Dovbyk.
That's the only one to
keep an eye on.
Usually, you know, though, we are treated to losing somebody for the entire season.
For sure. Okay, let's, I mean, again, knock on wood, you know, of course, obviously, the first ones I think that we kept our eyes on were Manu Kone and Pizzilli, right? Because as always, yes. You know, how many times have we had that happen to us? The most exciting talents on the team, the most promising players, the players that are most informed go out to the international break. They have their golden moment. And then we never get to see them again because they, you know, suffer an ACL injury or something of the kind. I can only think of Nicolò Zaniolo with Italy. Remember when he goes out there and
yes, he goes down. Yes. Speaking of Zaniolo, I mean, the fact that he got called up, now granted, it was
in light of Pellegrini.
Pellegrini. You want to talk about having photos on somebody? I think perhaps I don't know. In some way, shape, or form, I'm trying to make some sort of connection, at least comedically, to Frank 77 and insert her into this, but I can't do so. And if I take it too far, I will receive a message. Yeah, I mean, listen, this international break was so uneventful. I mean, there was a moment where for 2 hours straight, I was uninterrupted, where I had all of the time in the world to argue with. If anybody has an Italian mobile, you will know just if there is ever a problem with your payment, getting it resolved, your odds are better at, I don't know, a raffle. Your time is better spent doing so many more destructive things than having to talk to Wintre. And try
is this
to
a new segment of the show where we discuss.
No,
the...
yeah, where instead of complaining about geography, I complain about the various
socioeconomic part of the podcast dedicated to the living conditions.
You know, when you get a mobile, an Italian mobile, it is Russian roulette, except instead of having just one in the chamber, you have four of the six. Because you're going to lose no matter who you pick, no matter how big or small. So after, I think, 2 hours of complaining and arguing, I finally made a breakthrough and I got the payment that they incorrectly billed me for reversed. So two hours down the drain and not a single thing in that moment happened. Most of the time, you know, as everybody can attest, no matter where you live, this isn't strictly to Wintre. You just have to eat it because all of these companies, they more or less are trying to get you off the phone and in a roundabout way, tell you to go F yourself. But instead of doing that, I dug in this time. Okay. I dug in.
This could be the I don't know if you follow, but the Marc Maron podcast. But you know, before interviewing celebrities, he actually has like 15 minutes where he goes absolutely insane over his daily life. Maybe we could incorporate that as a regular part of the show. We'd probably lose about half of the patrons who would have to skip the first 15 minutes of the show, but I think it could give us some leeway, you know, because as you said, this international break, you know, for given Roma's standards, I mean, talk about.
I didn't know you liked Marc Maron, by the way. We can't just overlook.
I like that. No, of course. Yeah, I love that. I've been following him for years. I mean, he's the one of the grandfathers of the podcast form. So you have to respect your elders. Yes. And as we speak, he just released an episode with Al Pacino. So I have to respect him for that.
He has outlived everybody.
He's outlived everybody. But listen, I think I was prepared for unprecedented levels of doom and gloom. It seemed like most 80% of Roman media went on holiday or something. Yeah. Like, it felt like everybody was asleep, you know?
Yes.
It felt like this was the perfect moment for our favorites in Roman media, you know, the usual suspects in La Repubblica, Corriere dello Sport, and so on, to just pile on this team day and night. They did at the beginning, more or less, but then everything just went quiet. We even got an Ivan Juric interview with the Corriere dello Sport, where he sort of went against everything that's been said so far. The headline reads, "I am in heaven. I don't mind the criticism. I don't mind the pressure. I am here and I'm enjoying this and I'm having a great experience." And I think that took everybody even more by surprise, because what we saw yesterday and the reactions following that interview was like, okay, what is this guy talking about? You know, like, there wasn't really a reaction to it. So that just serves to point to how dead this international break has been, which was pleasant. I mean, it was welcome, because I really was afraid that with this search for a new CEO, with Ivan Juric going into this international break following a series of quite underwhelming results, maybe this could have been, you know, remember where we were after Monza, there was already talk of Daniele De Rossi coming back. madness, pure madness. But still, there was obviously, it was, and everybody knew it. Everybody knows it, you know, the fact that Corriere dello Sport puts it out there just to sort of, you know, get some clout out of it.
Test the waters to see what they see. What come back.
It's perfect. Favorites. Exactly. It's always like that. You know, you feel like they're just throwing, you know, they're just throwing fish guts into the aquarium to see which fish will swim up, if a shark will come out, you know, like that's what they do. They throw you bait. They throw you these ideas, these facetious ideas that don't make any sense, such as Daniele De Rossi coming back after, what, 3-4 weeks? Ridiculous. But thankfully, that didn't last long, because now we can head into this match against the Inter relatively calm. I mean, relatively carefree, because I was really afraid that there would be a lot more emotional baggage. Remember what we said after Monza? We said this team needs this break at all costs. It really needs time to reset. It really needed time to let that really difficult, challenging stretch of games sort of get off their back. Obviously, we have to mention, John, another wonderful idea by the Curva Sud. I'm sure you followed this. Their decision to not show up for the first 15 minutes of the match against Inter.
Very nice of them.
Explain to me, first of all, who does it serve? Like, who benefits from this? Second of all, why is now the time reduced? Because before we had 30 minutes against Udinese. You'd think that if they want to send a message, they would be a little bit more consistent in their communication, right? So if they sat out 30 minutes against Udinese, but then mind you, they were back in the stadium against Venezia. So I don't see the logic. Why do Udinese, then not Venezia, then now back with Inter, arguably the one of the biggest games of this first half of the season, and yet they do 15 minutes. Why? Why is that? Why is do we need more entertainment from this match against Inter? Does someone feel a little bit bad about the idea of missing 30 minutes against Inter rather than those just 15? Anyway, it just, to me, it just always hits me how childish some of these things are. And again, the fact that this will, and nobody will ever convince me that this benefits someone, and nobody will ever convince me that this is a message, because you're still buying the ticket, you're still attending the game. So good for you, I guess. You spend a lot of money to just sit out the first 15 minutes. I mean, what do you want me to say?
This is much like the, perhaps this is more of a cultural thing, because again, this reminds me of my Zio Valentino, who acts just like this. This moral high ground that they like to make, you know, the curva sud, where they say you are damaging Roma if you do this, you're damaging the club if you do that. The subject, there are very few things that large groups of people can be objective about. But the manner in which they subjectively choose and decide, seemingly at a moment's notice, it can change their view on it as to what. I just need to know what is classified as damaging to Roma and not damaging, and can we stay consistent with it? Because you can't tell me one weekend those who stay outside of the stadium, they are only damaging to Roma, and then just a few weeks later, we're doing the same thing. The subjectivity around what is damaging to Roma is comedic. It's comedic. And you're going to tell me that somebody who, I mean, I hate to go back to this, but do you remember in 2013, James Palotta, now, in fairness, did he make a mistake in the manner in which he carried it out? Sure. The thing with the crest. I mean, I had the video saved of a certain, you know which one I'm talking about, because our friend Cesare likes to tweet it quite often, of a very disgruntled individual inside the Ice Roma store when a few of the club's executives come in, because it's playing in my head and I can't, even when I think about the video, you know exactly which video I'm talking about. Yeah, Andy? This crest is crap, and that is the rated, that is a family friendly version.
Was that, yeah, I remember that. what year are we talking about? I don't know.
That has to be 2013, no?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. At the store, was it at the Roma store? Mm, yeah.
Yes, where you have the former head of communications who I do like. I don't want to bring her into it because I'm sure. Hold on. See, I knew I would find it. Let me see if I can get this thing to play just through here, because you know what? Everybody. I mean, the best part of that too is, even if you don't understand Italian,
you more or less know the intent behind that. Yes. Yeah,
you more don't or have less to. Know. Right. It sounded like that one of those so that you hear from Polly Walnuts.
Of course.
I mean, superb. But that's my roundabout way of saying we can't have from one week to the next something that you view as damaging to Roma, and then the next week your view on it is different. There cannot be such a massive disparity and large level of subjectivity as to what is damaging to Roma and what is not. It's absurd. It's absurd. It's absurd. The fact that we even talk about it.
But also, exactly,
how
like
many times into the season? We've brought this up three or four times already.
But also, you said it yourself, that video is 2013. That's 11 years, you know, 11 years of this crap that leads us nowhere. I just always wonder, sort of, again, you know, the moment is the way it is. We are all in agreement that the season started off poorly, that this team hasn't shown what we expected them to give to us in terms of entertainment, in terms of results on the pitch. When we think of our expectations in the summer, right? Also, at the end of last season, we thought, yes, this Roma can do better. This Roma can do better, especially with De Rossi at the helm. This Roma can build something new, build something exciting. Obviously, in the end, with the decision to sack De Rossi, that wasn't meant to be. This decision, as regrettable as it is, has been taken. We've gone through this spell where Ivan Juric himself, even in his interview, has said that these guys were really lost after De Rossi's exit. These guys were really on the brink of a mental breakdown. It sounded like, you know, a team that was completely lacking in confidence, disillusioned, confused as to what the club want to do, and also where does that put them in the equation. So we can all agree that it sucked, but the thing is that we are facing Inter in just a few days, and that's it. That's the story. The story is the match on Sunday. Everything else that happened a few weeks ago happened a few weeks ago, and that is what Ivan Juric, I believe, wanted also to communicate in his quite optimistic interview. Is not only just the fact that he's grateful to have this opportunity, which again is the biggest one in his career, but also the fact that you have to, at some point, you have to cut yourself off from everything that took place before. That's what Juric did when he came in here. He had the tall task of not listening to what is being said. I thought that's why I said that he's the perfect guy for that, because if there is one man who is willing to go into a context like this one and sort of become immune to everything that's being directed at him, and which is a lot, because if you think about that Corriere dello Sport, the same newspaper that interviewed him a few days ago, 2 weeks ago, was actually talking about De Rossi coming back and replacing him and his job being on the line. It's crazy. It's crazy. But the conclusion from Juric's interview is that at some point we have to actually start focusing on the season at hand. Because if we are, if we're going to be here in November, I still have to look at articles and in interviews with, I don't know, Capello, Totti, or whoever about Daniele De Rossi.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Sabatini. Sabatini.
He's about 1 foot inside of his tombstone, and
there's no more photos of him. There's just no more photos except for that oxygen tank.
Well, yeah, because the oxygen tank, you can't get a good one. Listen,
against Salernitana, that was
he was fun 8 years ago.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. The idea is, I cannot think that we will be just stuck in this vicious cycle of, you know, of reminiscing about Daniele De Rossi, because Daniele De Rossi would have also wanted us to move on. And that's what we have to do. We have to take this season, meet the moment, and focus on the game that will be on Sunday. That's the season right there. The season is on Sunday, not in mid-September when the sacking occurred. So that is what we, as fans, I always think that, especially those who go to the Olimpico, you have a right to boycott. But boycotting would be effective if you didn't buy the ticket.
Well, right.
You buy the ticket, you are supporting the club. I mean, it's as simple as that. So if your goal is to boycott the club, show them that you're against their decisions and show them that you are very serious about your intention to not support them during this stretch and perhaps during this entire season because of what they did to De Rossi, fine, but don't buy the ticket. Don't urge other people and their families who spend a lot of money, who come from all over the place, and they want to watch Roma play against Inter in a heated Stadio Olimpico.
Yeah,
and then ask them to stay outside just because that's what you are in the mood for.
Yeah, listen, my perspective on this is very simple because, man, and you have said it a number of times, when I see some of our patrons, like the ones in Australia, the obscene hours that they are awaking to subject themselves to something they already know is going to just psychologically, emotionally, and even physically, in some cases, be damaging to them. And man, that Andy, they're up at 2 and 3 in the morning just to take in.
Unbelievable, you know? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And you're going to dictate to that person in the very few instances that they had to be at the Olympico, you're going to tell them, hey, you know what? You are actually not a supporter. Yeah. If you go in there, if you go into that match on time that you purchased ticket for, that you traveled an obscene amount of hours to get to this place, if you go in there, you're damaging the club. Give me a break. Give me a break. The whole thing is a joke. It's a joke. And again, the subjectivity surrounding what is damaging to Roma versus what isn't, you lose me there. I can't even continue the conversation when we have these things constantly reoccurring. Well, that brings us to the match then, yeah? I don't know what to expect. How many do we lose by? How upset am I going to be?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot of on Twitter also. There's been people who have been sort of emulating what Roma do whenever a player scores and then just saying, oh, Eldor Shomurodov goal to make it 1-9 against Inter. You know, as in that's the beating that we're going to get. And I honestly, it feels tricky.
Hey, it might be.
I think definitely this is a tricky game to talk about, not only because of what Roma have done, but also what Inter have done. Inter have not been as sharp as we expected them to be after winning the Scudetto last year.
Particularly defensively, man.
They've been a bit all over the place. They go from having brilliant games to not so brilliant. I mean, we think about the way they stopped Manchester City, and then they went on to play the Derby, and you looked at that game where Paulo Fonseca's... That's the only game where Paulo Fonseca's Milan looked good. And
yeah.
I don't think it was even thanks to Fonseca and his tactics. I think it was mostly because Inter were completely unprepared. We saw that happen also in the opening games of the season. They've just not been as focused and clean as they were last season, where they were immaculate. This season, it's been more difficult for them to maintain that same composure that made them so impossible to beat in 90 minutes. So it's not like we are facing a team that is unbeatable. We've seen other teams give them problems. We've seen other teams beat them. But at the same time, we know what Roma's problem is. Roma concede just as much as Inter, and they need about 15 shots to score one goal, John. That's 15 shots to score one goal. So think about that. Think about that statistic. The fact that, with the exception of Artem Dovbyk, who has 3 goals in Serie A so far, who else is there who can score at this moment in time? Because Paulo Dybala has had quite the nightmare start to the season. Lorenzo Pellegrini, we all know his struggles. Matias Soulé, also, we know that he's been completely ineffective. Who else is out there? Who can solve your problems? Who can help you turn this around? And you know, you have to believe that in a game of this magnitude, the players that you deem important and big time for you will come through. So I think the spotlight will once again definitely be on. But that's why I say that the fan support is necessary. It's absolutely of vital importance, because you know what Pellegrini, Dybala are already dealing with. You know what Cristante is dealing with. You know Mancini is dealing with. So why would you make it even more complicated on Sunday? Because this team feels it. You know, the fact that they keep going to the fans applauding them is because they know that they now owe them something. They know that they messed up by not playing up to our expectations to start the season with. They feel guilty for Daniele De Rossi losing his job over it. But when does it stop? As in, when do we actually give these guys a break and allow them to regain their form? Sometimes that can also include making mistakes, but someone like Pellegrini is not going to regain that confidence and that composure if we can keep making it impossible for him. So I think, with the exception of Dovbyk, everybody else needs to step up. It's as simple as that. In the game against Inter, where everybody will be watching, this is the big match of the weekend. Not only do you have to maintain some defensive stability and consistency, which is what you've been lacking over recent weeks, but you will also finally have to unlock yourself offensively. Otherwise, you're not going any place. I'm sorry. It's like, we all know that defense is key to winning. So we have to work on that. But at some point, this team has to also to learn to be dangerous, because the shots that we've been taking, even though we've taken the most shots in Serie A, that does not translate into dangerous shots. So we have to become more dangerous. We have to learn to actually apply what Ivan Juric is trying to get these guys to do in training and do it consistently for 90 minutes. We cannot, against Inter, if you switch off the way you switched off against Monza, the way you switched off against Venezia, against Inter, you're going to concede 4 goals. It's as easy as that.
Well, I made the mistake of looking at the recent head-to-head between Roma and Inter. In the last 10, how bad do you think it is? Just a guess from nowhere.
I would say in the last 10, we probably won 2.
Okay, well, here, let me make you all the more depressed. Let me see. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
No, we won 2. No, we won 1 with Mourinho, 1 with Fonseca, if that still counts. Maybe.
Okay, so in the previous 21 matches between Roma and Inter, I see 3 victories. Now, the odds of me, I'm not good at counting, particularly when the text is this small. I can say this definitively, and my eyes are not deceiving me, between 2016 to 2000, or no, to present. So 2016 to 2024, so 8 years, nearly a full decade. 3 wins. 3. Oof.
Yeah, that's not good.
The judges have ruled that is not good. That is not a good record. Now, listen, there are a few in there that I do think need the footnote. Like, I remember that one where Roma, and I only remember it because Palo Alto was messaging me during it. Because he tweeted out the statistic. Remember when they shouldn't have had penalty? It was one involving Perotti.
I remember that, yeah.
Anyway, it has been a while. And can you remember the one of a few years ago where they won away to Inter?
Yeah, with Dybala. Mourinho? That's what I mean. That's the first year of Mourinho. Second year of Mourinho. Dybala scores 2-1. Yeah. And that's the last time that we look good against Inter. And with De Rossi last season, we put up a fight. It wasn't enough, obviously, but we put up a fight. That's as good as we can say about this team facing a team of Inter's caliber. It's weird to think back on 2016-17. You know, we remember when Raja Nainggolan scores that brace, and because it feels like those two teams, I mean, you think about how it felt to have the gap with Inter. Inter had a huge gap to Roma that year. I mean,
yes.
Roma, if you compare it to how good Roma were and where Inter were at that point, it was not looking good for them. And now, fast forward, 7 years later, Inter are untouchable. By Roma standards, if Roma pull out a victory out of this, it's a veritable miracle. That's a sad realization right there.
Well, it is too, because, I mean, it does seem like ancient history at this point, but man, there was that stretch it was that awkward period of post losing the Scudetto to Inter and pre-Inter getting this new ownership group. So the mid-2010s, yeah? I mean, it seemed like Roma. I mean, I remember 2013, 2014, that match at San Siro. I mean, I remember so vividly. Florenzi scored. Totti delivered a pass from our own area out to Gervinho that was... It has to be somewhere on the pornographic websites, just how exquisite it was. And it seemed like Roma, it wasn't a guaranteed defeat every time they went to San Siro or even when they played Inter in general. I mean, I'm trying to remember, and I do remember that recent, the one that we referenced, the 2-1 victory at San Siro, because that was the one where Smalling gets that late header. And I vividly remember Pellegrini delivering it on from the spot. And it seemed like that was the last time he delivered anything on the big stage for Roma, Pellegrini. This one, man, Roma have scored 6 goals in their last 8 yeah. matches against Inter. I mean, it seems like scoring in general for Roma is clearly a difficult thing to do.
Right now, yes. Right now, yes. And then you add to that that Inter with Inzaghi, again, this start of the season is sort of, it's almost like an anomaly, because what yes. Inzaghi has been able to do in Inter, it's just to make them a well-oiled machine that just runs at 100% every time. And it seems like Inter is the kind of team that is designed to hurt Roma. Roma against Inzaghi's Inter have been so sterile that I look at Sunday and it was already a tall task, but now given the context, given everything that's been leading up to this match, it really feels like a Herculean effort, you know, as in something that any result, in my opinion, will be a miracle, just because I think there's just so much pressure and so many difficulties that Roma have dealt with. And at the same time, what they've shown is not good enough to expect them to win against Inter. That's the thing, is that we can demand of them to win, but can you expect it? As in, based on what you've seen, based on the evidence, let's be truthful about this. Roma, although they've shown good things, for the most part, there's been a lot of underwhelming underlying elements that make it almost impossible to envision this team, first of all, maintaining a clean sheet, limiting Inter's danger, and also scoring, converting their few chances that they will have, because they will not have 15 shots on goal against Inter to score one goal. They will have maybe 3, maybe 4 at best, I would imagine. So that's what you have to work with. And Roma have not been good at doing that this season.
No, but I do think it needs to be said, and we both said it at the beginning of this. Inter, in their last 3 league matches, they've conceded 2 goals in each. Okay, so they've conceded 2 to Torino, 2 to Udinese, and then they lost the derby to Milan. Clearly, they are not free or infallible when it comes to making mistakes. The problem is with this Roma. I mean, not only will they not make you pay for your mistakes, they won't even take advantage of the good things they themselves have created, not to any fault of the opponent, but just out of the sheer good play from within. They can't find goals. I mean, when you said that data point, I think in the last episode about the number of shots, I went in
14.6.
I went to understat.com that it looks into like XG and all of these like more micro data points. And it is depressing. I mean, Andy, some of the places in which they are missing goals, not score. I mean, Pellegrini, just from a statistical point of view, the number of times he himself has hit the post, it is almost just mathematically so small, the odds of him being able to do that. Yeah. Like it would be easier for him to have like triple the amount of goals.
Absolutely.
Stunning. It's stunning stuff. The part of me that just says, you know, at some point this has to click. They are getting shots. They're just not going into the back of the net. Now, of course, that is actually how you get points in this beloved sport.
Well, the danger level of these shots, you know, the positions that you're taking, a lot of these shots are desperation shots. A lot of these shots are frustration shots of the signs of a team that is unable to express what it wants. And therefore, you have players who will take long range attempts that end up nowhere near the opponent's goal.
Sure, but I think you will get that from any team when, you know, they're chasing a match, which Roma found themselves doing a number of times thus far this season. The only thing that worries me about this match, more so just beyond the fact that it's Inter, you've had a shit beginning to your season. Andy, from now until the next international break, which I believe is the first or second week of November, I think the 10th of November is the final match of Roma prior to the break. And then they get, obviously, they return in 2 weeks in late November. You have to make up ground. You have to make up ground somewhere. You have to get victories. And by the way, you have to get these big victories because you know what? When you fail to beat the provincials, as Roma have done so spectacularly poorly this season, not getting a victory against the likes of Monza, Cagliari, you leave yourself no choice. You have to do it in these big matches. And Roma have already, as we know, I'm not even going to get into that because there's been enough depravity on this episode to begin with. I'm not going to venture down the path of Roma against Napoli, Atalanta, Milan, Inter, Lazio. I'm depressed enough. Probably going to be upset at what takes place Sunday evening. There's no reason for me to do it a few days early. You have to do it against these big teams, these direct matches. You have to. There's only a finite amount of matches in a season. And when you waste it against the teams that are at the bottom of the table, you leave yourself no alternative. So part of me says, you know what? Maybe this is the match where it just clicks for them. Out of nothing they've done themselves, it just...
And something has to click at some point. Like there always has to be...
Well, if it doesn't, we're beginning the death march now. For the next 7 months. So if it doesn't click now,
I can't bring myself to think about that now. But something has to click. Absolutely. You have to get to a point where you can comfortably think about a certain stretch of games, because right now we've been anything but comfortable. We've been actually sitting on the edge of our seats, afraid of what Roma will show us on the pitch. I struggle to think of one single person who could be possibly looking forward to Roma games nowadays, because there's been just so much tension and pressure involved. Well,
that you just said. I mean, the environment is a powder keg right now, man. And that's why I worry for this upcoming stretch is if Sunday goes bad, and not just, okay, you lose it late. We've seen that 20 million times, we can digest that. But I am saying, Andy, if we see something bad, if it is very clear, Roma, even, do you remember that match? I think it was 2-0 at San Siro, and it was either year two or year two under Jose Mourinho, I believe it was. It was 2-0 on as the final score, but it was one of the most one-sided affairs wherein Roma.
Maybe year one.
It may have been your, hold on,
with Mourinho, you know. But it was, I know what you're saying, because I remember that we came on and we were so deflated, despite the result wasn't as, you know, it didn't jump at you, because it was 2-0, but it really felt like a crushing blow. Like,
but that's what I fear, because all that is needed in this moment is the tiniest spark for things to, I mean, you want to talk about articles saying De Rossi is coming back. I mean, they will be ramped up to 50 times that. Okay, it will be Ivan Juric. He's going to be sacked. He's not even going to make it to the holiday. What now? Do you bring back De Rossi? How could we fix this? And it's not even the new year head. It's not. I mean, the prospect of having
to. I'm telling you, it's like Napoli. It's like Napoli last season.
I mean, there is so much, and I hate it because we say it at least once or twice per season, where there is so much on the line, where you're at this like tipping point where things can just really fall off of a cliff if they go bad. That is what I fear for Sunday. If it is bad, wherein Roma are simply passengers and it is one-way traffic, and it is clear that the level between you and Inter, the gulf is so enormous that it is so evident that you are nowhere near the level of forget being against a Scudetto winner. I am speaking of top four, maybe even top six or seven at this point. This could be just forget death march, man. This is essentially having picked out your own your own
tomb. No, it's scary.
You know where
it's
you're being buried. I just need to know when I'm going to be hit over the
head. Absolutely. Absolutely, John. It's scary to think about because, yes, there is a lot on the line. And more so, the thing about it is we don't know anything about this team. We don't know what they're made of. That's the truth, is that we haven't seen this team play at 100%. As in, we haven't seen this team show us exactly what they want to show us. We've seen glimpses, we've seen moments, we've seen, as we talked about after Monza, just how relieved the players were to find the back of the net. It was, to them, it was amazing that it even happened. That's very worrying because it just shows you that this team is very fragile, is in a difficult spot, and they lack the answers that they're seeking. They don't have them. I mean, I said it before, I hope that this international break would help the team reset, but we will have to see on Sunday. The problem is, again, that you're going and you have no answers. You only have questions. And yes, on one hand, it's exciting, but at the same time, it's scary because if you consider what the consequences may be of making a false step here, it's getting bad. It's getting bad out there.
Welcome back, Roma. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.
Ciao.